Hello and welcome back to the Aura Rasa show. Maybe you have noticed it too. I thought to myself a few times during the past week that I feel some people are surprisingly reckless. Maybe you noticed that too. This is why I want to talk about recklessness in times of crisis, the psychology of foolishness. We all know that the number of corona infections is rising, and it's partly related to psychology. As you all know, psychology is what interests me. But why are we reckless in times of a crisis? Let's start with a definition so that we're all on the same page. Risk versus danger, are they the same? We use the terms danger and risk synonymously, and it's confusing as they are different things. For instance, a lion is a danger. Approaching the lion is a risk that increases the closer we get. It's less of a risk to approach a lion in a cage, but that doesn't decrease the danger of the lion. Or let's take a hungry bear. A hungry bear is a danger. Depending on which area you go to, there are some areas where it's more likely than in others that you meet a hungry bear. That is the risk. So we can control risk, but never absolutely. And how we perceive risk has to do with our perspective. That leads to under or overestimating risks and different assessments. Our cultural and social environment also play a big part in forming our fears. For instance, someone who's living in a war zone has other fears than someone who lives in a peaceful country. The risk assessment for something simple, such as leaving your house and crossing the street, is different. Different assessments of risks lead to different behavior and actions. And now here's a surprising thing. Security increases our risk. People love security. They long for the one form of security that doesn't exist, absolute security. The paradoxical is that we stop being careful when we get used to feeling secure. Our life becomes more dangerous when we feel secure. That's when we get reckless and take unnecessary risks. We look for kicks in something that makes us feel alive. You know, we have organized lives, jobs, chores, responsibilities. We comply to please and to avoid trouble. It's routine, same old routine. And since ancient times, people did things that are a little harmful. Not so that they kill you, but just a little harmful. We do things knowing they're not good for us. We go to bed too late, drink too much, eat junk food until we're diabetic, and don't stop eating sugar once we are. Some people have extreme sports, and others attend super spreader events without a mask. Security isn't avoiding all risks. Security is navigating through them. Maybe you did some reckless things too. When I was 20 or even 30, I knew what death is on a conceptual level, meaning I knew that people die, but I didn't really understand it. You can probably compare it to we know what blindness means, but we cannot really imagine and fully understand how it is to not see colors. So I didn't really understand it. Whether it was speeding on the highway or ignoring well-meant advice, I felt immortal. Or that a disease and misfortune could not happen to me, only to others. For instance, I refused to wear a seatbelt and back in Germany, where on some sections of highways there's no speed limit. I thought nothing bad could happen to me. And then when one day a car hit me from the side so badly that, like, the door and cabin were totally shrunk together, and the side door was on my hip, and something that should be like in the front of the cabin was on my legs. And my head crashed into the windshield so hard that it cracked. It didn't break, but it had like these lines. So even some of my hair got stuck in the cracks. And the Alfa Romeo Giulia was a write-off, and I had a small bruise and a tiny scratch on the forehead. We had a saying back in Germany that drunk people and children have an angel watching over them. That's total nonsense. So are other stupid sayings, such as, oh, a plane could crash on my head when I go out on the street, which is probably not a likely thing to happen. I'm just trying to think when I spoke to the last person, that had that happening to them. But what does that mean? Are we suicidal? Are we inconsiderate, selfish people? Why are we doing things we know are risky or not good for us, and also sometimes put others at risk? And there are several factors that play into this. Blending things out is critical to our survival. Danger and risks are surrounding us. If we constantly look at every risk and assumed everything bad could happen to us, we would become depressive and paralyzed by fear. You probably know a few people yourself who achieve little because they fear risks and consider every potential problem and worst-case scenario in their decision-making process, but also in their action plans. In our Project Empathy training, we refer to them as double-checkers. So, as always, moderation is key. A little paranoia aids us in achieving our goals, but too much of it hinders us and can even render us unlivable. Then the next point is our brain craves quick rewards. The brain reward system is a group of neural structures responsible for positive emotions such as joy, euphoria, ecstasy, associative learning, and our desire and craving for quick rewards. The brain releases dopamine, especially generously for survival-related things like eating and drinking. Rising the dopamine level is the brain's way to teach us behavior was important and we should repeat it. These ancient instincts don't get updated and they don't take into account the amount of chemicals like GMO, MSG, and harmful ingredients that some of our food has today, and that our calorie requirement has changed since our days as hunter-gatherers. Then there is belonging and social acceptance. We know we get a pat on the head if we work long hours, even though we know it's not good for us. For approval, we're willing to do risky things to stand out. And also the opposite. For fitting in with a group, we might change our behavior. Or we let someone talk us into, for instance, having a drink when we don't want to. Hey, it's New Year's Eve. Come on, have a drink. The next is the herd instinct. We're more likely to give up responsibility and let someone or the herd lead us when we're part of a group. We imitate the leader even if he has a questionable opinion or leads us to do something we would not normally do. You probably heard it's contagious, and you can read or listen to why that is the case in the podcast episode that I'm going to link below, or my article, The Power of Mirror Neurons. Now let's talk about recklessness in times of corona. Most of us are too optimistic regarding disease. We think we'll never get certain diseases, and bad things will mostly happen to others. It's a delusion, but a healthy one. Having confident expectations and a positive outlook keeps us happy and also physically and mentally fit. However, we overestimate the amount of control we have over our destiny. With a pandemic, this can lead to dangerous mistakes, like failure to assess the risk. I'll be lucky is a risky mindset. The problematic part is that people who do not assess the risk correctly also risk the lives of others. About 42% of people believe they won't get COVID. I read different numbers regarding the amount of people who find the protective measures over the top. Let's say 30% to be on the safe side. Personal experience versus statistics. Personal experience beats data every time. We're self-isolating, social distancing, and wearing masks for a long time, and some of us did not have a severe COVID-19 case in their tribe or family. And I hope that you're one of them. But because many of us have not experienced the danger of the virus personally, we lose the sense of risk. Articles and statistics don't seem to change that. It's also difficult to see our friends as risks. Besides our healthy but delusional optimism regarding disease, our emotional problem is to see our friend, teacher, the person in need as a danger. On an emotional level, we feel that friend I know for so long that doesn't show any symptoms will not infect me. And then lastly, some leaders send false messages. In some countries, people receive false information. For instance, America, we are still being told as if a virus would be a matter of politics and not of policies, and as if a virus cares if you believe in it or not. But we were told corona isn't as bad as the other party makes you believe. Remember what we said earlier about the cultural aspect of fears and the herd effect. Honestly, I am surprised that knowingly risking other people's life is still legal. It should not be legal. I know that if I would have HIV, I wouldn't be allowed to have unprotected sex. So why am I allowed, if I have COVID, to just run outside without my mask? There was an article yesterday on USA Today where you can have a look at the development of infection rates before and after some of Trump's super spreader events. The average was close to 30% more infections. And in one city, I can't recall the name right now, but as I said, you can read it on USA Today and probably many other places. The rate was about 60% more infections 2 weeks after the super spreader event. And that's pretty insane. And I will close today's episode with a saying. That's also my conclusion. The fish stinks from the head.